that is police officers should be able to carry their weapons in, security guards, district attorneys should be able to bring weapons in that are part of evidence, for example, that they have to bring into court. But other than that, the judiciary would seek an amendment that would prohibit the carrying of firearms in judicial facilities.
Senator Parnell?
On that, Art, the current law prohibits carrying a concealed handgun into a courthouse or a courtroom of the state, and you're saying that by court rule, the courts prohibit openly carrying? Is that right?
By rule, but there's no law, and this would change the concealed weapons to the regular law, so there would be no law against carrying weapons in judicial facilities, and we think it should be done by law. People don't know about rules of court, what they are. Laws are things everybody knows about. They're on the books, and we think that this would be an appropriate amendment to this piece of legislation.
And would you still be able to enforce a court rule banning the open carry or concealed carry of weapons?
If you don't have a law, we're going to try to do it by rule, but my feeling is the public really doesn't know about our rules. They don't know about judicial functions. They may come in and say, the law says you can carry it in public buildings. It could create controversy, and we think it should be very clear that this is an area where there are high passions, high emotions, and it's not an appropriate place for the carrying of firearms.
Question?
Oh, Senator Adams.
I don't know if you know the answer, but I was trying to still look at the qualifications, because we're eliminating the qualification we presently have on state statute, going over to look at the federal qualifications. Do you have any idea what persons are qualified under those?
I do not. I mean, I know the federal courts, there's a federal law that bans firearms in federal courts, no matter what the qualifications, except for police officers. It doesn't cover state courts. It has nothing to do with state courts. It would not affect state courts if you say federal laws apply, because it doesn't say in the federal law state courts, obviously. So that's why we think we should have something in the state law on this.
Any other questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience that didn't get a chance to sign up wish to testify on this bill at this time? Okay. Go to committee members' comments, amendments, what have you. Senator Adams.
I still have a couple of questions of the sponsor. If we can have her back up here, I'd appreciate it.
Senator Green. Senator Adams has a question or two, and Mr. Babcock also. Go ahead, Senator.
That I'm still not clear on, basically is to the people that is qualified, is we eliminate them from state statute, but you say we go to federal law. It isn't clear that to me that we eliminate people that have an alcohol or a drug problem. I haven't seen it in federal law to prohibit those people, or people with mental disorder. And that's one question on that. The second one is on page 8, the first two repeating the handgun courses that we have provided in both those two sections, 1865, 715, and 725. Where will those courses come in? Maybe I'm missing that particular question. Those are my two concerns on this bill.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Adams, to the second question, that is only for renewal. There still is a requirement for the original permit for the courses. As for the application for the permit in the first instance, if you are allowed to carry a handgun openly, you will be able to apply for a permit. To the extent that federal or state law prohibits you from carrying or possessing a handgun openly, you will be prohibited from applying for a permit. And what those standards are precisely for carrying openly, legal counsel has attempted to list in their March 24th memo to you, and the result would be that the same standards that control people who carry or possess handguns openly would apply to those who wish approved to carry concealed after being, of course, fingerprinted, background checked, and trained.
Report now. Page 7 of the Work Graph, Section 15, under the where you repeal and reenact Section 755, you basically delete the list of places where a concealed weapon cannot be carried and just say that a permittee may not possess a concealed handgun anywhere a person is prohibited from possessing a handgun under state or federal law. And then on Section 17, you repeal the penalty for carrying in these places. And I'm interested in protecting rights of people with weapons. I'm not interested in protecting lawbreakers. And are there other penalties somewhere else that I'm not familiar with? Why would we repeal the penalty, or am I just missing something?
Chairman, Senator Parnell, the standards for criminal misconduct involving a weapon would all apply to violations of this statute. So you would be could be charged with first, second, third, fourth, or fifth degree misconduct involving a weapon. The first three, they're all under 1161. Our three are felonies for misconduct involving a weapon, and misconduct in the fourth and fifth degree are misdemeanors. Those would all still apply to violations of the law regarding where you can carry a handgun, whether it's open or whether it's concealed.
So you're saying that this penalty in this section was an additional penalty on top of the weapons misconduct crimes you're talking about? Or?
Senator Parnell, I don't know how the charges would have been filed upon one another.
Basically, violation under this said, under the current law, it says it would be a Class B misdemeanor, and we're repealing that because in addition to any other penalty provided by law, the person who violates the section is guilty of a Class B misdemeanor. You're saying that there are other penalties or charges that are available? Or
under 1161, weapons, misconduct involving weapons in the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth degree.
I'll look that up.
So the same penalties would apply whether you were using the weapon and improperly, openly, or improperly concealed.
Chairman. Are you done, Senator Parnell?
Yes.
Senator Phillips?
Now, there's one section that does concern me. Page 8, Section 17, looking at the fourth repealer, 18.65.755B, and you're repealing that section of the posting in a conspicuous notice to satisfy basically, if a person in his private residency or in a public facility to prohibit concealed weapons and those occasions. But anyway, that's one section I have concern about. And I do have an amendment to be offered where.
May I answer, Mr.
Not doing
amendments. We're not doing amendments today?
I don't think so.
What's that?
Chairman, are we doing amendments?
We're getting close. Yeah. We're also getting close to something else.
Hey, I just want to...
Mr. Adams? Oh, pardon me, Senator Phillips.
I have one. I might answer Senator Phillips' concern.
Sure.
That, too, would go under 1161 and would be your concern would be covered under criminal trespass. And the same standard would apply for someone who's carrying openly or who is carrying concealed. The irony of the system that's been set up is that a person with a concealed carry permit goes into, quote, a bank, and it's perfectly legal for that person to take the gun out, carry it open, and walk into the bank. And we've set up a dual system whereby we have required more from people who have gone through an extensive process than we are people who simply own a gun.
And
so we think those should be reconciled so that they are addressed equally.
Senator Green, are you worried about, and this is a joke, you're repealing the size of the signs of 144 square inches? You think the governor might think this is a billboard?
That's true. That is true.
I thought there had to be something to that.
That's exactly what it was, Senator.
Senator Adams.
The other question I had is the penalty section. I just want somebody from the department, we're changing the penalty, revising the penalty, and I just want just a clarification on that, just a two-minute verbiage on that one. Somebody from the department.
Do we have anyone from the department that can address the question from Senator Adams?
One thing or the other, I think we should take some hold it.
Senator Adams.
My question has to do with the penalty section going from elimination of two Class A's going to B section. What is the position of the department on something like that?
Mr. Chairman, my name is Ann Carpinetti. I'm pinch hitting on this issue for Dean Guanelli, who's out of town, and But I believe when I look at the repealer of 1865, 755, B and C, you're eliminating the B misdemeanor for carrying where you're not supposed to carry, and there is no corresponding violation or prohibition in 1161 for carrying in these places.
Okay, that section needs some work on. We need to have some type of misdemeanor or some type of penalty in there if it's missing, and that's all I ask. Okay, thank you.
Senator Phillips, did you say you have an amendment you want to address, and possibly Senator Adams? Will,
pardon me?
Do you have some? Might be considering some amendments.
I do have an amendment.
In that case, I will hold the bill over until the next, be first on the list for the next meeting. Senator Adams.
But to be fair with the sponsor, the only amendment I have happens to do with section number 10, and basically it's the qualification that we are changing that whole section and eliminating it, like the testimony has with domestic violence. There's a lot of statutes in there that we need to look at, and that's why I'm just saying the qualification section, I think, is one that we need to look at. I like the one that you worked on last year. It's a great one. I don't think we don't have to revise over to federal law, and that's my only objection, and that would be my only amendment at this point. Thank you.
Next scheduled meeting is 9 o'clock, Monday the 21st, and we'll take this bill up first. We are adjourned.